Leaving is never easy. I should rephrase that. Leaving is seldom easy because there are places that are easy to leave. The dentist, easy to leave. DMV, that's easy to leave. Long Island, for me, that's easy to leave. I don't mind seeing that place in my rearview mirror. But generally speaking, leaving is difficult because there's a sense of emptiness that's left behind, a feeling of abandonment. I've been in churches long enough to recognize that when someone leaves, it feels like betrayal. But I just want to say that's not the way it is with us. That's not the way it's going to be. The best way I could put this for Ryan and myself is we're not leaving Westbridge per se. We're following the path that God is laying out before us. There's no issues with anybody here. There's no issues with any decisions. It's really quite the opposite. Ryan and I, we fully support the leadership here at Westbridge. I've been in elder meetings. We're talking about the vision of Westbridge, and we're really excited about the vision and the future for Westbridge. Well, that being said, one of the many things that I've learned here over the years is when God says go here, go there, our best option is to obey him and to go. Sometimes we try and search, sometimes as Christians we try and search for God's will, and it seems really unclear to us. We oftentimes don't know what our next step is supposed to be. But sometimes he works out the circumstances in our life so that his will just boom, it just smacks us right in the face, and we say, we have to obey you. Otherwise, if we don't, I mean, it's just going to be total disobedience to God. And that's the way it is. It is obvious that we need to follow God's will. I can tell you, without a doubt, this is one of those times that it is abundantly clear for us for our next step in our ministry. As Drew likes to say, Christians are to give God the steering wheel of their life. And that's a perfect way to put it, but now sometimes that means that God is going to take us down roads that weren't originally on our roadmap, and we need to follow him down those roads. And at the transition of Ryan and my official ministry here at Westbridge, I thought it'd be appropriate to take some time tonight and travel back through the past 12 years and take you on a journey to the origins of Westbridge. The wow moments that have happened here at Westbridge, things that I was not expecting during this journey 12 years ago, and the praise for many, many of the things that you as a church have gotten right. I thought the best place to start would be to invite you on board, kind of a scary place, but invite you on board, jump into my memories, and we're going to travel on back to the origins of this place that we call our church home. Now, I didn't get the gift of remembering things that I read. I didn't get the gift of remembering things that I hear, but for some reason, God has given me the ability to remember weird details about the past. And even though that's not a marketable ability, I am glad that he gave that to me. So let's go back to the beginning. It's a time that I actually, before I even met Drew, jumping back to 1996, a friend of mine was thinking about attending Somerset Christian College. Back then it was called Zarephath Bible Institute. And they were having an open house. Well, we were sitting there, and this big guy gets up to talk about Westbridge, Zarephath Bible Institute and all the positive experiences that he's had at that school. Well, turns out that guy was a 32, 33-year-old Drew. And I remember Drew talking that night. We didn't actually meet, but I remember him talking. And little did I know that the man standing before me and his family were going to be influential in shaping my life. I said, I'm not going to do this. Hey, it happens. They were influential in shaping my life and my future. So, let's jump forward to 1997. I was attending Grace Church in Netcong. And this is the church where both Ryan and I, we grew up. We went to youth group there. We met there. We got married there. Now, I was at a church retreat upstate New York with about 60 other church members. And it was a cold, cold weekend in January, as it always is in upstate New York. And they always have a lot of snow on the ground, so there's a lot of winter activities going on during that weekend. This weekend was filled with a few Bible lessons here and there was a lot of food. and there's a lot of free time. During that free time, you can go snowmobiling, you can go snow tubing, you can just hang out by the fire if you wanted to do that. But there's all these activities you could do up there on that weekend. Well, during one of these times of hanging out, I met this guy who was into Harleys. And you can guess who that guy was. It was the same guy that I met a few, or that I didn't meet, but I saw a few months earlier down at Zarephath. Well, turns out that he and his wife, Kelly, they also attended Grace, and they were up there for that retreat also. Well, I got to talking to him, and for the first time, the Drew personality made me feel like I was the most important person and had the most important story and life in the world. You know how he has the ability to do that when he's listening to you? That's the first time I experienced that. I don't even know if you remember any of this. I actually had a picture of us, and it bums me out because I looked all over the place, all over the house for that picture, and it was you and I, and a fella took a picture of us, a little short guy come up right between us, and he said, take my picture. So it was me, Drew, and then this little short guy named John, and I wish I had that picture, but I'll find it when I go home tonight, probably. So we started talking. I remember being impressed not only with Drew's knowledge of motorcycles, but with his positive and excitable personality. In fact, I remember going home and calling Ryan, who was in college at that time, and said, Ryan, when you come home from college, you have to meet this guy, Drew, and his wife, Kelly. You just have to meet him. Well, the weekend turned out to be a blast. After it was all done, we returned all back home and got back into our responsibilities. Well, now, during that season of life, Drew and Kelly, they worked at the creative arts department at Grace, and I was in charge of the hospitality at Grace, so we'd see each other serving on Sunday mornings. And here's a random thought. I remember years ago, you guys would take your kids down to Sunday school, and I remember a little Cody and a little Katie running down the hall to go meet you guys. That's just... Yeah, yelled at for that. But I think Drew will agree with this assessment of our relationship during that time. We weren't best buds. We weren't going over and hanging out at each other's house. We were more like friendly acquaintances. In fact, I was closer friends, and I was in the same stage of life as Sean, who is Kelly's brother and Linda's son. I was closer with him than I was with Drew at this time. A majority of my conversations with Drew, they were about motorcycles, especially since he had one, a nice blue and a silver one that he'd ride, and I was jealous of it because I had sold mine, and about the only thing I had left to ride at that point was a skateboard. I remember one time hanging out in the kitchen in hospitality, and Drew came in for some cookies, and I told him a joke, and you won't remember this, but I do for some reason. I told him a joke. I said, what's the difference between a Harley and a Hoover? The location of the dirt bag. He didn't seem to think that was as funny as I did at the time. Anyway, I remember Drew's first time preaching at Grace. He would come out and speak to the youth group where I was helping out. He was good. He was engaging, and I learned from him. But little did I know that was only going to be the beginning of everything that I was going to learn from him. Well, time went on. Grace decided to start a daughter church. And by this time, Ryan and I were married. And we decided to bring our ministry over and help this new church starting out. While Drew and Kelly, they followed where God was leading them in their ministry. So now, fast forward to 2001, a couple years later. Ryan and I, we had just bought the farm property that we'd been renting for the past 3 years. We bought this farm property and everything on the property, including a 6,000 square foot barn and 5 tractor trailers that were packed top to bottom, front to back, with antiques. We had Chris Craft boats in there, old wooden Chris Craft boats. We had Willie's Jeeps, furniture, lots of antique furniture. We had lots of old Harleys, motorcycle parts, and 1918 Indian. One of these motorcycles in 1953, it actually kind of sort of ran. I mean, it was a real piece of work when you rode it, but it actually ran. Not that I really looked forward to riding that one much. But by this time, Ryan and I owned this property. So the first thing on my list to do is I want to start getting rid of this stuff. I want to start making some money. I want to start selling these things. So I sold the boats. I sold the vehicles. But I still had the Harleys and the parts and the Indians. So one day I walked into church, and Kelly's brother Sean was there. And a little voice inside my head said, "Call Drew." Wow, brilliant. He's a Harley guy. He can work this whole thing out. So call Drew. All right, I haven't talked to him in a couple years, but I will. So I got Drew's number from Sean, and I went home that afternoon, and I called him to see if he'd be interested in coming over and taking a look at these motorcycles, or at least giving me his opinion about them. Well, guess what? When I called Drew, he remembered me. And a couple hours later, Drew showed up, and Cody showed up with him. And they came over, and they were going through the house looking for those motorcycle parts. Now, I happened to ask Drew, I said, do you still have that blue and silver Harley? And he told me, he said, "Yeah, it's actually for sale." Maybe we could work something out here. Maybe we could work something out, huh? Say, I've got all these parts and these motorcycles that really don't run, and the one that does, I certainly don't want to ride it. And I don't have the time to work on them and fix them up. And he's trying to sell his bike. So Drew comes up with this idea. How about an even swap? All the parts, all the bikes, everything that has to do with the motorcycle goes with Drew, and he gives me that blue and silver bike. Oh, well, now there's an offer I can't refuse. So we make a handshake agreement. A couple weeks go by, Drew comes back with a trailer and a couple bikes, and we get to talking, and he mentions that he and Kelly are starting their own church. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But I didn't give it much thought beyond that, no offense. A few nights later, I go to Drew's house to pick up my bike. I still remember pulling down that driveway, seeing it shining there in his driveway. Drew told me that he was actually able to sell all those motorcycles and all those parts, get what he wanted to originally sell Bell for, and have enough money left over to buy a projector for the church. See, Drew and Kelly, they decided from the beginning that God was going to provide everything for the church. He wanted the church to happen, and they were going to rely on him to provide everything for the church, and that's how the church got its first projector and the one we used for many, many years. And it was late September at this time. I drove Bell home. I know it was late September because I still remember my hands freezing to death on that ride home. Now, a couple more weeks passed, and on a Saturday morning, this is in my memory. If it's wrong, let me know. Drew pulls up my driveway in his old pickup truck. And he gets out, and he has a newspaper in his hands, and he's really excited. And this article talked about a new church that was starting, Westbridge Community Church. And now it was going to meet in the middle school of a town I never heard of, Stewartsville. But that's what it said. And I remember Drew saying that his original intention that night was to wear something nice. But then he had read the article, and it turns out that he has to wear jeans, because the woman in the article said that the church was casual and the pastor wears jeans. So, and regarding the pickup truck, it turns out that Drew and Kelly got this pickup truck for $300? $300. They were going to use it to bring the equipment to and from Westbridge. And used it for quite a while. The truck ran. Yep. Turns out, the morning that Drew showed up, that was going to be Westbridge's first night. So Ryan and I, we decide, hey, we're going to go that first night. We're going to help out. Well, we don't know what we could do, but let's go there, help out however we can. So we walked in the middle school for the first time. Let me tell you, that was cool. That was neat. Church in a school on a Saturday night. That's not anything that I was used to. But also seeing how organized and how prepared Drew and Kelly and Linda were, that was really quite impressive as well. One of the drawing points for Westbridge in the early years was we served Starbucks coffee. And that first night, I remember Kelly was in the back by the hospitality table with one of the little grinders grinding the coffee to put it in the coffee pot. Yep, and I'll tell you what, from then on, every time I smell Starbucks coffee, I link it back to Westbridge. Ryan and I, we ended up being greeters for that night, and one of the most memorable things for me is looking out that front door and seeing car after car after car pulling in the driveway, and I turned to Drew and I said something to the effect of, "Drew, they just keep on coming." And then there was a service. There were There were actually tables for people to sit at, and drama. And there was no stage. Had to do the dramas on the floor, but it worked out, and it was fantastic. It was a rock and worship band. The food, you could bring the food to your table and eat it during the service, during church. That doesn't happen. Drew's teaching style, it was relevant, and I would even dare say entertaining. The entire atmosphere in there was electric. I'll tell you, we become used to these things over time just because they're familiar to us. But I'll tell you what, they were, and in still many cases, they are still revolutionary. Well, that first night lured us back a second week. And that second week lured us back a third week. And so on and so on and so on for 12 years. Our first men's group, we had three guys. We had three guys. It was Drew, myself, and a fellow named Jeff. And we met Sunday mornings in a little diner right next to, in Washington, there was a diner. It's not there, it's not a diner anymore, but it shared a parking lot with Dunkin' Donuts. And that's where we used to meet Sunday mornings. And we went through a workbook called Experiencing God. And that's where I learned the different ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through prayer, through Bible, through the church, and through circumstances. And those are points that I have used and probably will forever use wherever life takes us. Over time, more and more and more people came to Westbridge, and little by little, Westbridge grew, and there were more after-dinner theaters, and they came and went, and arts nights, and baptism picnics, and anniversaries, so much so that next week, we're going to be looking back at 12 years of Westbridge memories and victories for God. Now, standing at the beginning of Westbridge, and now standing 12 years later, looking back, I need to tell you how cool it is to see how God orchestrated these events. To be from the first time that I saw you, we didn't even meet, some random school down in Zarephath to now. He delivered so many unexpected circumstances and relationships and moments. Now, in the world of the unexpected things that I was not prepared to have happen, the first thing I want to mention that was unexpected was that Ryan and I showed up for week two. That was never part of the plan. Our intention was to be there for the first week, but not for the long haul. Initially, we were going to help out for the first night, and that's it. But that's not the way that God had it. Something else that I was not expecting was to ever be in a drama. Kelly approached me, and she asked me if I'd be willing to play a part in the after-dinner theater. And I said, sure. I mean, but secretly, I was thinking to myself, there's a problem. I'm terrified of speaking in front of people. Plus, I've convinced myself that I had a mind like a sieve, and I couldn't remember anything. So with those two problems, I kept in my head. Nonetheless, I agreed to do the part. I had five lines. And for 2 weeks before that, I would walk around the house constantly repeating these five lines over and over and over again, and I drove Ryan absolutely nuts. Here's the part I was going to be playing. I was going to be playing a grumpy old hillbilly. So I wore a red hat. I had a gray beard. I had these really gnarly brown coveralls. And the script said I had a shotgun, but we were in a school, so you can't bring a shotgun to school. So I took the barrel off of my shotgun and brought that in and kind of tucked it under my arm and sort of made it look like a shotgun that way. To this day, my father-in-law still does not know that was me in the drama. But I do remember the whole Kleinbell family was in that drama with me, and they helped me get through it. And as far as I know, it came off without a hitch. And it showed me that I have a love for dramas. So much so that sent me on a 3-year journey of attending different acting schools in New York and New Jersey. Needless to say, I overcame the stage fright. All because Kelly asked me to take part in that after-dinner theater. Another thing I wasn't expecting was for Drew and the Westbridge Elder Board to invest in me as a leader. They taught me to be the kind of leader that leads by permission, be a leader that people want to follow, instead of being a leader who leads by position and demands that other people follow them because of their title. Something Drew said years ago, it continually stays with me, the lowest form of leadership is leading by position, lead by permission. And Drew and I went multiple times to Wild at Heart conferences in Colorado. The Elder Board, they made the investment to have emotionally healthy leaders. They led by example. They taught me the Westbridge core values of leadership and how to be a servant leader. Next thing I was not expecting at all was to be approached about delivering a sermon. I mean, man, this one's interesting because I am quite possibly the worst writer that you will ever meet. And that's not an exaggeration. But you know what? Drew came alongside of me, and he coached me along the way. He gave me the ins and the outs of the message structure in creating messages. And we used to regularly go over what I had and different ways it could be improved. Many times I would email him my message for that week, and then it would come back, and he would have these things highlighted in red and said, hey, you probably want to move this one over here. That may be saying something too much, so you could probably just get rid of that. And a lot of editing, especially early on in those times. I never took offense to that. It was part of the learning process. Sunday mornings, we would meet after I taught a message. We'd get together at the diner and evaluate, how did things go? What could be different? What could improve from there? This was all part of the learning process. And he was an excellent teacher and made the investment. Even to the point of flying the teaching team down to Georgia for a week-long conference and out to Illinois for a shorter one. No matter where God leads, Ryan and myself, the foundation of my teaching, my preaching and acting and leadership values, spiritual growth will always be right here at Westbridge. Westbridge is the place where I grew up spiritually. And that's something I was not expecting that first week in Stuartsville. No, there are many, many unexpected things. I'm not going to go over 12 years worth of them. I think you'll appreciate that, but I do have to mention one more. When I got married 16 years ago, I was not expecting that Ryan was going to play such an integral part in supporting and encouraging, helping me along the way. I knew wives were partners with their husband, but I had no idea to what extent. I know you most of you are going to find this hard to believe, but I am not the easiest guy in the world to live with. I'm impulsive. I procrastinate. I have ADD and everything else that comes along with that. Sometimes it's fun, but how do I begin to tell you all the things that she does behind the scenes, things that nobody sees? Depth of wisdom that I have appreciated over the years, and I know many others have appreciated this on many occasions. Many times she'll suggest different perspectives or some fresh insight into a situation that I'm dealing with, and it turns the whole situation around. She has a heart for others. I'll find out that she'll write to somebody and tell them that she's praying for them through certain situations. She doesn't bug me to give her information that somebody confides in me, and she is able to keep information that somebody confides in her and not go and spreading it around. As far as my sermons go, she's my editor. She's my PowerPoint and outline maker. She prays for you as a church, and she prays for you individually. And when we found ourselves in financial trouble, she even took an additional job so that my weekends would be free so that we could be here on Saturday nights. I know October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but I think, Drew, you'll agree with me on this. There needs to be a Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month. Because, and this is true, and I have to read this, without the behind-the-scenes support, the upfront people wouldn't be who they are. Plus, she's a great mommy, but that's not a surprise to me. So as we wrap this leg of our journey up, I can't leave this message without pointing out some obvious praise that the Westbridge leadership and the church as a whole deserves. I'm not a fan of church trashing, but I can tell you that there are many churches out there who are getting it wrong. There are others out there who are getting it right. In Westbridge, you're among the ones that are getting it right. Starting with the community that you have formed with each other. Did you know that half the church getting together at Panera or Chick-fil-A after church is not normal? I mean, it's not. It's not normal in other churches. It should be. It absolutely should be. And you have created a community here that stays together and lives life together. And you continue that even after the church service is over and you walk out of those doors. You invest in and build friendships that last a lifetime. You pray for one another. You offer advice. You give listening ears to each other. You invest in relationships that are going to continue on into eternity. And when you build those friendships, it doesn't matter where you go. You can still stay connected. I have a friend who moved 16 years ago, moved down to North Carolina. I talk to him at least 3 times a week because he's still a brother in Christ. We're still in the family of God. Everyone involved in making a Saturday night successful deserves to be praised, because this would not happen without you. You've been doing this for 12 years, week in, week out, set up, tear down, from worship to drama to hospitality to Kids Bridge, to set up and tear down, design team, AV, hauling, prayer team, every other team that I'm not even thinking of right now. Everyone here is playing a part in Westbridge happening, and Westbridge would not be Westbridge without you. You make church something to look forward to. You get funny, tell me this isn't true, you get funny looks from people when you tell them that church is actually a place that you want to go. The church is a place, that's someplace that's enjoyable. It's that time of working together that helps to set a community and helps set examples for others. For years, I have seen first-timers who've never been to Westbridge before, after the church service, start folding the chairs up and stacking the chairs. These are guests, and they're doing it because they see you guys patterning it as well. Also, you continue to roll with whatever unforeseen circumstances come your way, whether it's the sound equipment not working because the equipment's too hot and the gym we're meeting in doesn't have air conditioning. Remember that? or the church trailer is stuck in a snowbank, so our options are either to dig it out or to load all the equipment into pickup trucks. Or if the coffee pots don't work, somebody's running to Dunkin' Donuts and getting boxes of Joe and say, we're going to roll with it like this. Having the ability to continually roll with whatever comes your way is something special. It should be continually guarded. Don't lose that ability, because those unpredictable times are often the most memorable and the most impactful. You're creative. I mean, you make difficult ideas possible, like playing a full electric band in the rain while riding on a hay wagon in a parade. When my dad passed away, my family and I, we experienced firsthand, you guys are great comforters. We felt the overwhelming support and sympathy as you mourned with us during that difficult time. On the flip side of that, when we announced that Ryan was pregnant, the excitement was overwhelming. Without mentioning names, I'm going to tell you, there were some pretty macho guys that were absolutely giddy. When Evan was first born, we felt the absolute joy as you celebrated along with us, and we still do. You're building stronger families every time you apply God's word, and we're proud to have our son be influenced by all of your love for the Lord. Now, to the elder board, Kelly, Linda, Robert, he's not here, but he'll probably listen to this on tape. I want to say thank you for allowing me to work alongside of you. I want to encourage you to continue doing all the behind-the-scenes tasks that nobody ever sees. The organizing, the managing, the counseling, the prayer, the vision casting, the phone calls and conversations and paperwork that take place on a regular basis in order to make it happen so that we could meet here on a Saturday night. And I want to urge you to continue to guard the spiritual integrity of Westbridge by your wisdom and your diligence in upholding God's word. Now, press on to the prize that God has for you in eternity, because you're standing on the front lines as leaders of the church. You're standing on the front lines as peacemakers, worship leaders, prayer warriors, teachers, leaders by example, and decision makers. And Drew, I can't thank you enough for seeing in me years ago what I didn't see in myself. On a personal note, I could say that when you're off duty as a pastor, when we're standing in your garage shooting the breeze, or on a motorcycle ride, or sitting in an airport on your way to a conference, I can vouch that he's a godly man, man of integrity, and the kids that you and Kelly are raising are evidence of that. You take seriously the charge of preparing sermons every week, 15, 20, 30 hours of your time given up in sermon preparation so you can feed and grow God's people. You make the deliberate effort to preach God's whole word, even the difficult topics, which includes clarifying passages where God orders people to be killed. I've never heard a message on that before. I don't think anybody's wanted to touch that because they didn't know what to do with it, but I thought you did a great job at that. You make the deliberate effort to go through the Old Testament every summer, go through a book in the Old Testament. You work on creating messages to show how the Bible is relevant to people's lives, and you hold our attention while doing it. You speak the truth of what the Bible says rather than twisting scripture to tickle the ears of the people. And during the Pastor Appreciation Month, I would argue that there are few people who would appreciate you as much as I do. So I want to encourage you to continue to invest in and to feed God's sheep. And Westbridge Church family, with next week's celebration of 12 years of ministry, and Ryan and I concluding our official time here at Westbridge, I want to say to you, you're going to still see us pop in from time to time. We're not leaving. We're still living in the same house where we have always been. We're still in the area. You have been and you will continue to be our friends and our family. And to close out, I thought it would be appropriate to read the conclusion of two letters in the Bible. One is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. And the other is the conclusion to the book of the Hebrews. And I want you to hear these words as if they're directed to you. Here's what he says in Thessalonica. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you holy in every way, and your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Now, as I read Hebrews, I'm going to ask you to stand as we close out. Now, here's what it says at the end of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Savior of many sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for each person in here, each volunteer in here, Lord. I thank you for the way that this church has impacted the community, the lives of people. Lord, I pray your blessing on this church for years and years to come, that the works that are done here are done in love. I pray that that will be seen in the community, that it will reach out and touch others' lives. Bring people in here who may not even know that we're meeting here tonight on a Saturday night. I pray that in another 12 years, Lord, people will be looking back and saying, what an amazing journey they are on. And through all of this, we pray, Lord, that you will be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.